What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one community for DJs where you get paid for your live streams. Today, we have my brother DJ Lolo on the set here. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people who you are and where you're from?
What's up, everybody? It's DJ Lolo. I'm currently living in Houston. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. Been in Houston DJing for like 5 years now. And, you know, it's the club scene, it's the party scene, it's the VIP scene, wherever it's popping, that's where you can find me. So pretty much just tap in on Instagram. I am DJ Lolo. I am DJ Lolo 818. I took out the underscore. So yeah, just follow me. Talk to me. I talk back.
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to have you here on the podcast, man. And we want to hear your story. Talk to us about the beginning days. You know, what got you motivated to become a DJ and kind of walk us through those early days in the industry?
Well, honestly, I can just be real. Like, I started DJing like virtual DJ in high school. So when it comes to like just being on the computer and sliding a cruiser back and forth, that was me back in the day, chopping and screwing stuff, putting out the hottest mixes, compilation CDs. That was always me, and even through college, you know. And I never really got the calling to actually be a DJ until like a few years ago. It was like 4 years ago, I did a New Year's party. And I was thinking like, I'm tired of working my job, I'm a waiter, waiting tables all the time. And I needed something else, you know, something else in my life to spark my life. I'm tired of just going to this building and going back to my house and whatever it is I do in between. I needed something else. So I invested in some DJ equipment. I bought a Neumark Flex Deck Quad Core, and I had the little CD burners on the bottom, and everything was cool, and it was dope. And I had a little speaker, little Thumb 15s, and I set everything up, and I had my subwoofer, and everything was nice. Had the lights popping, and I did a New Year's party, and like 170 people pulled up to this New Year's party. And I ain't gonna lie, like maybe 4 or 5 people throughout the night came up to the DJ booth and asked me, did I do this professionally? Like, did I do this personally? And I was like, no, I mean, this is my first time. Like, you know what you're doing your thing. Like, and I was just, that was the motivation I needed. That was the sign, like, you know, I need to start DJing. But, you know, when you start in an industry like this, you know, like, where do you start? You know, like, who puts you in the position to DJ, you know?
So, all right, man. That's an awesome intro, bro. You know, tell me a little bit more about where you went from there.
So basically, you know, when it came down to me trying to understand where I wanted to start, I just took the same model. I rented a venue. I started selling my own tickets online on Eventbrite, and I started throwing my own parties, and I did it monthly. And, you know, as the months progressed, my friends and family and all these new supporters started seeing consistency in what I was doing and the vibe that I was providing. And, you know, it started growing. Well, I'm going to just be honest, like 420 was probably my biggest day, and like over 260 people came through this little bitty venue, and everybody just, I sold my all my merch. I had two different designs, the design for the flyer and my personal logo design, sold all my merch. I charged $20 per person, because if I charge $20 per person, you come in, get free alcohol, and we have free food. People was like, man, that's a steal. I'm going to do that. And, you know, my fifth, after the 420, show, and that was success for me. I was in a profit. I knew I had like something, because I would bring out local artists and incorporate that with my shows. So a lot of them would come up and they'll bring their friends and they're performing. And a lot of them actually are really in the rap industry now because of that opportunity that I provided for them and gave them the confidence, because these are friends that I went to high school with. And I was just telling them, man, this is stage, bro. It's just me and you, you know. We used to freestyle on the desk in school, so come on out and, you know. And it turned into now they're full artists in the industry now. So it's like, you know, for me to look back at what it was and to see where it is now, like, you know, like, I'm proud of all of the success, you know, and the route that I had to take to even get to where I'm at. Because, you know, after I threw my fourth one, and that was 420, this is all in the same year. The fifth month was May. I threw an event in May at this club in the hood in Houston. It's called The Barn. And I paid $200 for catered food. I had bought alcohol, full bar, set everything up perfectly. And something of freaking nature happened. Like one of the power lines had caught fire outside. And I was like, oh my God, is this God telling me something? Like, am I not doing, like, I don't know what's going on. But the owner was so, like, he didn't know really what to say to me because I had already paid for the venue, paid for all this. I had packed house, bunch of people there, artists ready to perform. And we couldn't do anything because they didn't have any power. So he basically rescheduled me for the next month. I had a whole nother month to promote. I promoted, I rocked the show in June, and he asked me to be the house DJ. So I guess that's the rapport that we had built. And once he had asked me, then, you know, that turned into me having three nights out the week that I can throw any type of event that I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? So I did that for probably about a year. And, you know, I linked up with another promoter and she brought me to another club called Fire and Flare Lounge. And then I started working there and I was working there. Then they ended up expanding to a bigger spot because, like, we were packing the venues. You know what I mean? Like, the venues couldn't hold us. So he was like, shoot, y'all don't have to go nowhere else. I'm going to just buy the building next door and we'll just expand. Y'all stay here. I love you guys, you know. And it was just like it's just been a building opportunity, you know. And through this journey, I've always did shows with artists and other promoters, and they've always booked me to, because I'm they call me a great show DJ. I just come in and I don't like boring, stagnant. You know what I mean?
Wow, man. That's a super amazing intro. What I love about it the most is that not only did you create an opportunity for yourself by throwing taking the risk to put together these events, you created a platform that put other people on. And that's truly amazing. And that's truly a blessing for yourself, but also a blessing to other people. And that's really amazing that you're doing that, because not many people have that mindset to not just do it for themselves, but to do it for other people. And the thing is, when you do that, you actually set yourself up for more opportunities and elevate yourself to that next level. And even just in your journey, how you can see just how that one opportunity led to another. Then even when things happened to go bad, it turned around and became something even better. You know, with the fire and the thing happening to cancel your event, but then the next month being able to establish an even stronger relationship with that venue owner. Like, that is something that's truly amazing. I personally credit it to God. And I just think that you have an anointing over your life. And the thing is that you're going to be doing an amazing thing over and over again throughout your life. So I'm super excited that we're, you know, connected, and I can definitely help and support you further in your DJ career, man.
I appreciate that. It means a lot, even coming from you, you know, different perspective. I've never even looked at it like that. I just looked at it as me just trying to hustle and find a way, you know. And for me to, like, hear you say that, you know, lets me know, like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because I ain't gonna lie, bro, stuff happens to me all the time and I can't explain it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I just go with it. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, and then, you know, more things happen. I got more to share, but what were you about to say? I'm sorry.
And now keep sharing, bro. This story is about you and your DJ journey. So talk to us more about what you've been going through and some of these opportunities that have been coming your way and how you've been navigating through the industry.
Okay. Well, really, you know, after I did that for probably about a year, then I went to the other club and built up my rapport. A couple of the artists had started reaching out to me because, you know, I've done shows with them and they have an industry mixer at the studio in Houston called Enclave Studios. And they have an industry mixer every Wednesday. And you know, usually they have like different DJs that come in and out every Wednesday just so they can network with different artists in the city. And the thing is like they hired me to come in and then I was there for a year. You feel me? So it's like, that's just the type of person that I am. I guess people just understand the relationship and they get comfortable, you know what I'm saying, with who I am. But me personally, I'm good, you know, when it comes to the money part, but it's not, the money wasn't where it needed to be. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of my friends and people that really like care for me, they were telling me, you're underpaid, bro. They're not paying you what you're worth. And you're so much worth so much more. And, you know, I stopped looking at things as opportunities and I looked at it as experience. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, once the experience is up to a certain level, then you can start charging a certain amount. You know what I mean? And, you know, with my success and what the things that I've done, I mean, I've had a bunch of shows between then and now. And I think I probably only canceled like 2 shows. You know, that's just on some, you know, family emergency thing because, you know, dependability is the first thing I depend on. You know what I mean? If you can depend on somebody and they're going to show up on time early, ready to go, they know how to run it, you don't need to babysit the situation or monitor because, you know, this person is fully capable of doing what they need to do. And I've been able to do that. That's how I kind of know that I'm in my lane. You know, I used to do music and rap, but nobody ever rang my phone to do rap. You know, but they ring it all the time to do some of this DJ stuff. And that's how I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And
that's great, man. No, that's super exciting, brother. And talk to me about some of the things that kind of has aided to your success. You know, you have a lot of skills. You're able to DJ. You're able to put together these events. You're able to be a promoter and really just have all the elements needed to succeed as someone that's putting together these events. You know, what are some things that if other DJs want to kind of replicate some of the things you're doing, what are some of the things that they need to learn or skill sets that they need to acquire to succeed at this?
Well, honestly, let's be honest. That's why I said, you know, hustle is everything. And I love saying that because there was no limit on how many places or avenues I could get money. I just had to educate myself on them. So what I did was I opened up other businesses. You know, of course, my pop-up party, that was my first business with my traveling club experience. And we can do that anywhere, any club, any venue. And I know how to set that up perfectly. So, but once that, you know, kind of slowed down, you have to think about other things that are going to get money in between. So I started doing show mixes, you know, for artists. And, you know, then I started doing DJ mixes for radio stations that needed them. I'll reach out to these online internet radio stations, and they pay you to do an hour long mix of whatever music they prefer. You know what I mean? And I created a cover arts design. I make cover arts for artists. I can also do like, you know, video art. I can edit video. I can shoot video. And you got to be creative with what you're doing and also be passionate because, you know, if I'm not feeling it, then I can't involve myself with it. Just because I don't want to give that person a bad, you know, something that they don't, you know, that's not good energy. I want to provide a good service. I want to make sure that I'm putting my name behind something that means good, that stands for something good. I just can't put my name on anything, you know, and think that, oh, just because they pay me that's what I stand for. No, I stand for something and it has to make sense, you know, all the way around before I involve myself. So, you know, just being creative on creating different businesses for yourself outside of DJing, you know, tapping into the local artists, being able to do, you know, counseling. I do a consulting a lot. I know how to register their music, you know what I'm saying? Fully register them, get them, you know, registered as an artist, get their music registered, licensed. You know, I know how to do these things. And a lot of people don't know how to do these things. So I charge for those services. And, you know, a lot of success. You know, I started my own label. I have I also have a management. I do management now. have an artist, VL Tune. I dropped my album a month ago. Yesterday marked 1 month, and we reached 100,000 streams on Spotify just yesterday. So, you know, it's not about where you start. You know, last year I only had 700 streams total on Spotify. So now this year, 100,000, that's just on Spotify. I'm not even including everything, all these other streaming revenues, but it's not about where you start, it's about where you finish. And the people that I know about this particular album that I just dropped, I've been working on it since 2018, and it finally just came out this year. So, you know, it's not the same artist I was working with in 2018. It's been a lot of growth and this one and that one. But the piece that came out, I felt like was a perfect nucleus of artists that I'm not getting nothing but positive feedback from my work. So, you know, you talk about, you know, different things that you have to do. I've done mixtapes, I've done show mixes, I've done cover arts and video arts, I've done video editing. I've a brand ambassador for a lot of people. You know, I've been a lot of brand ambassador for a lot of artists. You know, they've paid me to talk about their brand in other settings. You know, I've traveled to South by Southwest multiple times with several crews of people. And, you know, it's always a learning experience for me. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, man. No, that's super impressive, man. And congratulations on that huge milestone, 100,000 streams. And that is not an easy thing to do, especially in 1 month. And wishing you the much success, hopefully, to see you get to a million streams over the next couple of months. And I know you're going to be doing some really amazing things. It really takes drive and hustle, like you mentioned, to really get to where you're at. You've learned a lot of skills, and I can tell that you've been teaching yourself new skills along the entire journey. And I think that by having that mindset and willing to learn new things, and then having that business mindset to be able to charge and make money from the things you've learned, is how you continue to grow and innovate and be creative in growing your revenue streams. And you've done it on so many fronts, man, from selling merch to producing and putting together music, throwing parties, DJing, consulting, man. You are impressive, brother. And I want to see that people look at you as an example of what they can accomplish as well. Because the thing is, if you see someone that's doing well and they're willing to tell their story just like you're doing today and putting out the gems and the pieces that allowed you to do this, you can replicate it yourself and be able to step in that light and be successful as well. So thank you for sharing your story and really putting it out there for the people to learn from what you've accomplished. And there's going to be so much more that you're going to do going forward. You know, I would love to hear, you know, a little bit about your brand. You talked about your name is all you got, and you got to make sure that you have a great name for yourself. Talk to me about what DJ Lolo means to you and how you came up with that name, and what does your branding stand for?
Well, let's be honest, before I answer your question, I do have to say, like, my management, that didn't come till like just the last year, because people saw consistency in what I was doing and they saw me working. They would go to venues with big artists and they'll see me working. I'm there working. So when it comes down to having that face card and being respected and having that name, you know, that means everything, like I said. And when people respect that, that's when they're able to trust you to be a manager and trust you to take care of their career. You feel me? And, you know, I got the name DJ Lolo. Lolo is actually an acronym. It stands for Live on Life Opportunities. And honestly, I feel like that's literally how I've been making my way with this DJ stuff. Like, and, you know, I've just embodied my name to the fullest. You know, I mean, people like, how is your name Dimitri? But where'd you get Lolo from? Like, literally, that's how I've literally lived my life. Just living off life opportunities. And every time I go DJ, another situation always pops up. And it doesn't matter if it's not that promoter or the owner or somebody else who experienced my skills and need to re-experience that again. And that's just pretty much just how I've been building my career. And, you know, first impression is everything. And I'm always ready to go. I'm always, I don't know how to turn down. I turn up.
Awesome, brother. And let me tell you, you're making a great first impression on me and just what we're doing here on the club. So appreciate you for just being a stellar example of how someone should move in this industry, man. I'd love to hear, you know, what are some things that you learned through your journey that you know now that you wish you knew when you were first getting started to help our audience that are early in their journey?
Well, I wish I would have knew, you know, going direct to the owners, you know what I'm saying? Instead of working with promoters, working directly with the owners, you know what I'm saying? Because promoters are, you know, they got janky promoters, but they got some good ones, but they got some janky ones. And I've caught a couple janky ones in my time. And, you know, I provide a service. So I would think that you would provide good business. You know what I mean? So that's just what I live on. So, you know, I can't speak for what other people got going on in their life. And I don't know what they got going on. But when it comes to me and what I do, I provide good service and I provide good business. I don't show up late. I show up on time, ready to go. I got everything you need. We just going to party from here. And that's just pretty much, you know, what I would say that I would do. I would just work more with the owners instead of the promoters first.
Awesome. Great advice, man. And I would love to hear, you know, what are some things that you're working on now? And how can myself and our audience help and support you in the things that you're currently doing?
Well, honestly, going to my Instagram, I am DJ Lolo 818, and clicking the link in the bio, streaming my albums, and really tapping into my body of work, because I feel like my albums are different from other DJ albums. It just gives a different feel. And, you know, I'm not, no shade. There definitely have people have trailblazed the way, and I'm stepping in their footsteps because I want to be like them, because they're already successful. You feel me? So at the end of the day, like, just let a young brother get a chance. Just let me be heard. That's all I want to do.
Awesome, brother. Definitely look forward to supporting you and our audience supporting you as well, man. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Serato. DJ Serato SDX3.
Who's your favorite DJ?
DJ Drama.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
I partied on, I threw a Sweet 16 birthday party. I hate to say that these adults just don't turn up like they used to, bro. I'm going to just be honest. But to DJ for these 16-year-olds and you play one song and you see them flying from side to side and jumping, and like, there's no bigger feeling than that. You know what I mean? Like, they let you know the DJ's doing his thing. You know what I mean?
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Not gonna lie, I just did a show on Saturday in Oklahoma City for Chronic Palooza. It's a big smoke fest in Oklahoma City. And I was backstage, just got done watching Baby Bash get off the stage with his crew. And I seen Exhibit over to the right. I swear I ran over there with my DJ board in my hand and I took a picture with this man. The security was almost trying to John Wick me, but he said I was good, and I got my picture and I shook his hand, told him who I was and told him I was a fan, and I really, you know, appreciate, you know, him even coming to the venue. You know, it was like I saw Exhibit rock out live. This is crazy. First show back from COVID. Like, this man really ripped the stage up. Like, he didn't give a damn. He was telling those people in the back, let the people in. Let them in. I don't care. Let them in. The lady, let them in right now. Everybody was at the front, hands up. And this man was, he's way older than us. And he's rocking way harder than a lot of these young dudes I see holding the mic on the stage. No cap. And I'm not even going to lie. It was an inspiration and a lifetime moment for me. Because I'm from L.A. and I grew up on this man. I never met him, never seen him, never was in the same area. And this particular time, I was out there with my artist, Tree Life Trey, one of my artists. Tree Life Trey, he had opened up for Baby Bash at the Chronicalooza, and I was backstage and I seen Exhibit, man. That's probably like one of the best moments.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I would say a direct link to share. Whenever you're going live, it's hard to share the live while you're going live. You know what I mean? So I think if we were able to fix that problem, like we had like a one button share to all your platforms that you had logged in on this website, I think that probably would be essential because it'll keep us focused and we're able to just hit a button and keep going.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Shout out DJ Matrix. That's the CEO for Mixed Gang DJs. I'm a part of a coalition called Mixed Gang DJs here in Houston. But we have a band of 250 DJs across the world. We have DJs in France. We have DJs in everywhere. So, but there's 25 of them in Houston, and DJ Matrix is the CEO. He approached me. I actually had got hand selected to go to Trey the Truth. I don't know if you know who Trey the Truth is, but Trey the Truth had did a dinner, a luncheon with a bunch of DJs when he was doing a single, and he invited me out, and I came. And DJ Matrix approached me and he asked me to become a part of Mixed Gang. And I didn't know that this man had came to one of my shows and actually saw me mix live. I thought he was just going based off of us just having a conversation at the table. But he had came to one of my shows, and that's why I always say you never know who's in the building. You always got to be on point.
Awesome, man. Now we look forward to hearing his story, and any DJs that are interested in being on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Well, honestly, I'm still doing events right now. I'm just doing bookings because it's about to be tour season. We're off of COVID. So I'm not really trying to lock down into the club scene because I know I'm going to be with this artist and that we're going to be moving around. So follow me on Instagram for sure. That's really where I post where I'm at most of the time when I'm in events or private events. I post just to let my fans know what I'm doing so they can be entertained and stay engaged in my movement. I want people to just, you know, be more engaged and, you know, talk to me. I talk back.
Awesome, brother, man. This has been an amazing interview. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our audience had learned a lot as well. You have an amazing skill set, and you're an amazing brother that's doing great things in the industry. Keep it up, man. I'm here. I'm a supporter, and would love for our audience to support you as well. So please, if you're listening, follow DJ Lolo on all the social platforms. You're definitely going to be impressed with what he's doing. And thank you for your time, brother. This has been great, and look forward to building with you going forward.
No problem, man. I appreciate you, brother, for real.